Right now, be praying. Right now, we have several of our women are at a retreat at thing called Faith Walk this weekend, and today's their last day. So be praying for them if you think about them during the day today. Last week, several of us guys did the same men's version of Faith Walk, and I'm telling you, it was pretty amazing. It changed. You hear this all the time, but it really did change who I am, the way I think, the way I look at things. It's funny because we've been talking about this message for a while, this series, and it changed what I was going to say today, which is, it's weird because here's the thing, I can't really tell you what happened this weekend, and it's not because I don't want to, because I would love to sit down and talk to you about what, but I just really can't explain it all to you. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't tell you the ways that it got inside of me and changed me. And plus, we're hoping that this is something that we continue as a body going forward, where our guys and our women can go. And we want you to experience it on your own. We don't want no preconceived notions, no nothing. You go, and whatever God does with you there is between you and God. And so I don't want to go into a lot about that. But what I can tell you is that it's kind of given me this renewed... It sounds weird because we've only really been back for 6 weeks. But it's given me this renewed vision, this desire to reach beyond these walls. 2019, how amazing would it be a year from today to be sitting here and everything filled and more chairs? I mean, and not for numbers, because it's not about numbers, but it is about souls. The more people that we impact, the greater eternity is going to be. I sit here and listen. One day I'm going to be able to sing like that. It ain't today, and I'm not going to try. Amen. But one day, and that choir, we want that choir just to be bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's given me this desire to love people and reach people right where they're at. Right where they're at in their lives. Since we got together, the pastors, Pastor David, Pastor Mike, and I, and started talking about the Christmas series, I've been praying over what my part in this is supposed to be. Our theme is "Come, let us adore Him." Right? Last week, Mike talked on some of that and on what that means and how that looks. And to me, for a pastor, I don't know about anybody else, but this is kind of like the season you really want to talk. Because you get to talk about God that came down in human form, took on the form of a man, came in as a baby. No way I would do that if I was God. I'd have come in as a king, you know what I mean? A big palace, a lot of people to bring me food. But He came in as a baby. And we get to talk about that. About how that changed this world forever. Whether you believe in Him or whether you don't believe in God, you cannot deny the fact that belief in that God came into human form has changed the way this world is today. And so it's like this. It's a huge privilege. It's special, and it's something I really wanted to do. And when I started getting all these thoughts together, I told you God changed kind of where my message was going to go this week. I'm not going to go into it, but I will tell you it was going to be an amazing message. I don't know now, because I had it all planned. It was just going to be awesome. We were going to look at some of the Old Testament scriptures. I'll get into that in a second. But anyway, my goal is for you to leave here knowing that God's timing is perfect in your life. God's timing. It doesn't matter whether you see it now, whether you're in the middle of a bunch of, there's no way God's using this to bless me, but God's timing is perfect. And if you allow it, even the worst times of our lives can be turned into blessings through God. God cares enough about each one of us that He knows and He's planned every single detail of our lives. He knows it's going to happen. Now, within that, He's given us freedom on how we act it out and how we live it out, but He knows. And this weekend, Jesus opened up an opportunity for me to deal with a bunch of undealt with garbage. Anybody got garbage? You got garbage? All right. I just want to make sure I'm not alone up here. Things that I thought I had dealt with. Things that I thought were in the past. Also things that I thought I had pushed down and buried so much that really they just didn't matter anymore. You know, I've covered them up. I've gotten past that. I've powered through it. Whatever you want to say, they're in the past. Even if I hadn't really dealt with them, I'm just going to go on with life like it never happened. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. You need to deal with this stuff. And this weekend, God knew that before I got up here, if I was going to help shape the outreach of this church, I needed to deal with these issues. If I was going to stand here today and tell you that God has a perfect timing for your life, then I needed to listen to that timing and deal with those issues. Or it would be hypocritical of me to say that and not to have taken that opportunity that God provided. He sees the smallest details of our lives. And He knew that I needed last weekend before I had this weekend. And I'll tell you, because I've been invited to the Faith Walk thing. Where's Richard at? Where are you at? Is he in here? Oh, he's probably in the back counting. He's been inviting me to these things for like 2 years, ever since he started going to the ones down in Tennessee. And I always had a reason why he was wrong and I didn't need to go. But God knew that this was the weekend that I needed to do it. See, I told you, my plan for this was to look at Old Testament prophecy and see how some of the Old Testament prophecies that pointed towards the birth of Jesus, how they were fulfilled perfectly. I mean, down to the letter. Things that, you all heard the statistics. I'm going to make this one up real quick because it sounds really good. Like 1 in 800 billion that any of this could be fulfilled, much less all of it. And yet it all was. We're going to look at a little bit of history and see how the time Jesus entered, if you really get into this, the time Jesus entered into this world during the Roman height of power, was the ultimate perfect time back then for him to come in, because they had free trade, they had perfect roads for traveling, they had a common language which they never had before. All of this was perfect. His timing, right? It was going to be amazing. I just want you to know that. So if this bombs, think about that. But God led it a different way. I want you to see His timing in your personal life. I want you to see that God adores us so much that He planned out my life. He has a perfect plan. We talked about it in our class this morning. God has a perfect plan for your life. And God has always used perfect timing. How many of you have had really strange things happen in God's time? I know I have. Really strange circumstances, but see, He uses it always to accomplish His purpose, His goals. And because of this, our desire should be to adore Him, to love Him, to worship Him, to sit at His feet and just adore, love, just bask in that glow. I'm going to read, this is the first verse I want to read. I'm going to look at this real quick. It's Psalms 27. The book of Psalms, most of it was written by David. And a lot of it is... David, anybody know David was persecuted? This guy was a king, right? But yet David dealt with some of the harshest stuff from supposed friends. And I want to read what David says in Psalm chapter 27, verses 11 through 14. It says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Let's pray real quick for this. God, thank You for this season, that we can come together as a body and reflect back on what You've done for us, what You did in the manger. God, what that means into our lives today. God, help us to look at these scriptures and a couple of these stories today and see that Your timing has always been perfect. Whether it was leading up to the birth of Jesus, whether it was leading to the crucifixion, Or God, whether it's just us waking up in the morning and living out our daily lives, Your timing is always perfect. God, we love You and we give You all the praise. Amen. So, too many times we don't wait on God, right? Here it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And too many times, if you're anything like me, you just like to get out there and get ahead of whatever God's doing. You catch a glimpse of the direction God's heading, and it's like, boom, out the door, and you're gone. And Jesus better catch up, right? Because you already know what He wants you to do. Every time I've ever done that, it's turned out horribly. It has turned out really, really bad. We wind up feeling defeated. We wind up feeling like a failure. You ever been mad at God? Admit it if you have. Come on, He knows. He already knows. We get mad at God. We get mad at other people. We blame other people. And it's really because of our failure to be patient in God's timing. You're going to see that David knew what it was like to wait on God's timing. David was surrounded by enemies, right? This is the guy that King of Israel crowned. I mean, he was anointed at a young age. And yet, this guy was so persecuted by the guy whose place he was going to be taking, by all kinds, his own kids turned against him. But David knew what it was like to be surrounded by enemies for almost all of his reign. And King Saul tried to take his life a couple times, threw a spear at him twice, and missed him both times, thankfully, while David was serving him in court before he became king. David knew, though. Anybody know the story of Saul going to the bathroom in a cave? Yeah? And David and all of his men were hiding in the back of the cave. Can you imagine being... Oh, I don't even want to go there. Anyway, David had the opportunity, snuck up and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. He could have killed Saul right then and he would have been king, right? It was already prophesied he was going to be the next king. He had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get rid of Saul. But he knew it wasn't God's timing. In fact, he told his men, he said, look, it's not up to me to put my hand on the king and kill the king. Because his men were trying to encourage him. Go on, just do it. You can do this. And he's like, no, it's not God's timing. God forbid I'm the one that takes the life of the king that God put on the throne. But he had already been anointed as king. There's stories like this all through the Old Testament where men who we think are these really godly, I mean, and they really are. David was a man after God's own heart, but these were just guys that waited on God's plan, on God's timing, and a lot of times jumped out in front of God. They jumped out in front of God just like we do. And one of them is Jacob. Jacob was that guy was a character. It's weird to think that, do you realize, I don't know if you're familiar much with the story of Jacob and Esau with his mom Rebekah and all the things that happened in there, but back in the book of Genesis, Rebekah, when she became pregnant with twins, she went to the temple or to one of the religious leaders there, to one of the Levites, and he prophesied over her and told her before they were born that the younger son was going to rule the elder son. It was done. God said that Jacob was going to be the head honcho, even though Esau came out first, right? But Jacob and Rebekah wasted years and decades trying to trick that into happening. Jacob tricked his older brother for the birthright. Jacob and Rebekah conspired to trick Isaac. I'm going to get them wrong. I always get my Old Testament people mixed up. Isaac into the blessing. All of this, and yet he already had the promise he was going to be it anyway. It didn't matter. He spent years and years and years running from his brother, from his father's anger, hiding, separated from his family, all because he could not wait on the timing. Instead of being blessed all these times and their family being together, he jumped out ahead and it wrecked a lot of stuff. I'm going to read here from Genesis 32. And this tells a story a little bit about what happened after Jacob stopped running. When Jacob decided to come back home. Okay? Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. Pastor might be able to relate to this a little bit. Touched the socket of his hip, and the socket in Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and you have prevailed." Then Jacob asked, saying, "Tell me your name, I pray." And he said, "Why is it that you ask about my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Up until this point, Jacob had tricked his way into everything he got. He'd schemed his way. He tried to trick his way into a wife and wound up getting tricked back, and then wound up with two wives. He wound up getting the better of that in the end because he got like the best herds when he left Laban. But now he's coming back. He's going back to where Esau is, and he's scared to death that Esau is just going to take him out because of everything he's done. And so he sends everybody on ahead, and he stays, and he gets into a wrestling match with God. Could you imagine that? Who watches wrestling? That would be like the ultimate pay-per-view. Jacob versus God. Jacob versus the angel of God. And Jacob wasn't going to let go. But I love it here. We've been talking about it. At this point, Jacob got his name changed. Jacob, the name Jacob means trickster. Everything he got up to that point was because he was worse than a used car salesman. I'm sorry if we got any used car salesmen. He was a trickster. He tricked his way into everything he got. Either that or he got double tricked back and then had to continue in. But he was a trickster. His name meant trickster. And yet God changed his name. And when Jacob said, "All right, I'm going to stop. I'm stopping running. I'm not running anymore. I'm taking everything. I miss my family. I miss all of this. I'm taking everything I have and I'm going to go back home." And in that moment when he was alone with God, he held on and he said, "I'm not letting you go until you bless me now. Tired of running." The angel said that "I'm changing your name to Israel because you struggled with God and you struggled with man." That was Jacob's whole life. And the name Israel basically means struggle with God. How would you like to have your nation's name right from the very beginning to be struggle with God? You know you're in for a bad time, right? The nation of Israel spent years struggling with God, and Jacob was a picture of that. It wasn't until he stopped running. And we all struggle with God. We all wrestle with God. We run and we fight. Sometimes it's to get away from God. And sometimes it's because we think we know what we're doing and we don't want to wait on His time. If God's call on your life doesn't scare you, check the call. Because God never calls us to be comfortable. It always is going to cost us something. We get out of the world, or we get out into the world, we get so busy, we get distracted with doing things our way, trying to be successful at life, that we forget the whole reason we have this life in the first place. And that's why this time of year is so great. Because we get to slow down for a minute, hopefully, unless you're just one of those that are like at the mall every day and online shopping and slow down and think. Reflect on the baby. Because we never would have had the cross without the manger. Reflect on God that gave up everything and came down here in His perfect timing. Because He knew that 2,000 and almost 19 years later, He came as a baby 2,019 years ago, somewhere around then. Because we would need Him. And He knew that Wayne's going to jump out in front of Him a lot and mess stuff up and make people mad and do all this stuff, but He still came as a baby. And we need to remember that. We need to adore Him because His timing is perfect. If we call ourselves Christians, and we continue to run out ahead of or away from God, I promise you, there will come a time in your life when you are going to be forced into a wrestling match. If you get out ahead of God or you try to run from God, you will be confronted sometime in your life and you're going to have to be in a wrestling match. His timing will catch up. And you'll have two choices. You can either let go, run, and flee. And I promise you, that just leads to more destruction. Or you can grab on and you can say, God, I'm not going to let you go this time until you bless me. I am in this for the long haul. This fight ain't going to end. I'm going to do everything in my power to hang on to you and follow you wherever you take me. The same thing that Jacob did. And unfortunately, that means making some tough decisions in our lives. There are things in all of our lives, which is what I realized this weekend, that need to be changed. Paths that we need to alter. We talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 today. And that path that God wants to light up is not just some random road. It's not some random footpath somewhere. It's a well-traveled, well-used, rutted-out, hard-packed road that has been traveled by thousands and millions of people before us. And God says, if you trust in me and you wait on my timing, I'm going to make that path clear. You're going to be able to see exactly where you're supposed to be on that path. And we tend to get out ahead. So we have paths that may need to be altered. We have, this is hard, how about friends that need to be unfriended? Yeah, that's rough. It's rough. How about this? Relationships, if you're in a dating relationship or relationships that need to be ended. But you just don't understand. She's my boo. No, she's not. She's your distraction. God has a perfect person for you, and it ain't the one that's leading you off the path. We have all this stuff. Surrendering to God's will always costs us something. It always costs us something. If all it is your own plans, it costs you something. It truly does cost you something. Staying in the Old Testament, we can look at the story of a prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. Elijah confronts King Ahab. Anybody ever heard of Ahab and Jezebel? Yep, well, Elijah, he had like one of the worst jobs for, he had to confront these people. Ahab was a wicked king and Jezebel was even more wicked. Jezebel drove him to the wickedness. And he had to confront him. Let me take it. He had to go up to in front of a king. And see, we all think, oh, I could do this. It's no problem. I could stand up and tell him what's going on. But we're all, most of us won't even ask our boss for a raise because we're too scared. And he had to stand in front of the king of Israel and say, you know what? Here's what's going to happen. First off, it ain't going to rain it wound up being a little over 3 years, but it ain't going to rain until I say it's going to rain. Really? Well, how about I just throw you in this jail and I keep you in jail until you say it's going to rain? He had to stand up and tell this to King Ahab. God told me to tell you that until I speak the words, it will not rain in this area. You're going to have a drought, a famine. That meant death back then. California has a drought. We still ship in plenty of enough food. They're not going to, the fires and all that are bad, but they're still going to be there. Nations were wiped out by famines back then. And so he stood there and he told him, and God said, now that you've told him, run. Because he's going to put you in jail if you don't run. And Jezebel's going to do worse than that. So he goes to this place called the Brook Cherith. And God uses ravens to feed this man. Breakfast and dinner. They bring him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat at night. And he drinks from the brook. But see, here's the problem. He just pronounced a drought. How long is that brook going to last? long enough for God. But there comes a point where the brook dries up. All this has to do with timing, right? So the angel appears to Jacob or to Elijah, and he says, "Look, I want you to go to a village and you're going to find a woman. And I want you to tell her to make me something. Give me something to drink, make me something to eat." So he does. He goes there and he finds this woman. She goes to get him something to drink, and he says, "While you're at it, will you make me some bread? Will you make me a cake so that I can have something to eat?" And she said, "Look, all I've got is just a little bit." And could you imagine being a mom and saying, "Right now, guy, I'm out gathering little sticks. I'm going to make me a tiny fire in my house. I'm going to bake this little piece of bread that I got. Me and my kid are going to eat it, and then we're going to curl up and die." We think of these as, oh, they're cute little Bible stories, but these are real people's lives. And he said, "Trust me. God spoke to me, and trust me, He will not let you go hungry. I don't know about you, but if my kids need to eat, and I've never met you before, and there ain't no more food in the house, and you tell me to make the last little bit of food for you, that's tough. That's tough." But here's the cool thing. Perfect timing. This lady and her son were going to die. Get up and go. "All right, I'll go. Talk to this lady. All right, I'll talk to this lady." Because of that, the lady and her son never went hungry. In fact, they had enough for everything. Even to bring in another person, Elijah, a full-grown man, and feed him too. Through the whole drought. They didn't go hungry. So Elijah's timing in listening and following, her timing in just listening and saying, "All right, I'll be open. I'm willing to share. If that's what God said, I'm going to do it." And then this young boy would have died anyway if Elijah had not shown up. Because even if they had enough food, later on, the boy dies. I mean, stops breathing, dead. And she comes down and she's like, "Look, I did everything you wanted. I fed you. I did all this, and why? So my kid could die anyway." And he said, "Hold on. God promised something here. Hold on." And he goes upstairs and he says, "God, don't take this boy." And he comes walking back down with this kid. They walk outside and he says, God's timing. If he wouldn't have stood up to Ahab in the beginning, he wouldn't have made that announcement. If he wouldn't have hung out at the brook until everything had disappeared and God had to tell him to leave. If he wouldn't have gone up and talked to this lady and been insistent even after she told him that they were going to die anyway. If this lady hadn't listened, timing. We don't see it, but it adds up through our lives and it makes a huge impact. As followers, hopefully we know where our dependence and where our hope comes from. I love the Hebrew language is so amazing. They got names for God that describe God. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Elijah knew that name. This lady knew that name. And they lived it. They didn't just give fake words to what they believed. They lived in it. We need to pray with prayers like that, that God would bless us to know Jehovah Jireh, to know He's going to provide, even in the bad times, His timing is always perfect. We need to trust in Him. Because weird things happen when you trust God. All of a sudden, He provides things on His time frame, not ours. Perfect timing. Perfect timing. The waiting, the seeking, the asking, the patience, the moments of true trust and dependence on Him, waiting for Him to show up. All of that is what matures us. If you can't get waiting down, if you're like me and you're just impatient, maturity takes so much longer. So much longer. If we just slow down, we all experience things called dark times. But look at it this way. It's not dark times. It's God's caring. Things come into our lives to stop us from other things, to lead us to other things, to close some doors and open other doors. When we look at those dark times actually as God's caring, His compassionate love, His timely intervention, It changes when we go through these times. It changes the way we look at them when we come out of them. I could sit here and talk to you all day about checks that have shown up in the mail. People think, oh, these are just pastor stories. No, they're not. Talk to my wife. I could talk to you about being hungry and not telling nobody when our kids were young and we were living at BBC and we had absolutely no food and we were at church and we didn't tell nobody and nobody knew and we came home and there was like bags and bags of groceries piled up in front of our door. I could tell you stories really recently of things that have happened that have blessed us when we stop and we say, all right, I have no idea how that's going to happen. I have no idea, God. Unless you step in, it ain't going to happen. And it always seems to happen right before you pick up the phone to call the creditor and tell them. Right before you're ready to throw up your hands. Right before you're ready to bake that little last cake and curl up and die. God brings hope. Because His timing is always perfect. It's always on time and it's always just what we needed. Okay, here's where I'm going to get a little uncomfortable. I'm going to share something that happened after this weekend. So, there are all kinds of times in the Old and New Testament where God speaks to His people through dreams. Okay? I'm going to read. He does it for a multitude of reasons. To tell them of the good things that are going to come. To warn them about bad things that are going to come. All kinds of reasons. But I want to read in Job real quick. In Job chapter 33. I'm going to read five verses here. Starting in verse 14, it says, "For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men while slumbering on their beds, then He opens the ears of men and He seals their instruction. In order to turn man from his deed and conceal pride from man, He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword." All right. I've been in ministry and I've been saved since 1990, and I can honestly say I've never had, that I remember, a spiritual dream. In fact, if you know anything about me, I have a lot of nightmares. I have a lot of night terrors, horrible things, but I've never heard God speak to me in my dreams. Monday, we come home and go to sleep. And I have this dream, and usually my dreams are real vivid, extremely vivid. And so I was standing in the dream. I was standing in this room back there by where Jeff is, back at the soundboard. And you know how in your dream everything's kind of familiar, but you know you're friends with everybody in the dream, but they really don't look like your friends, but you know you've been hanging out with them forever, and you're familiar with all of them. And so we're hanging out after church back there with Jeff, where Jeff is. And I used to be the sound guy here, so for two decades I stood behind that soundboard. After the service, a bunch of guys walk in, and they're rough-looking guys, young guys, and they're messing around. They're just causing trouble, chaos. They come in after church, and they're flipping stuff around, and everybody's just sitting there watching them. What are you doing? Do they not know where they're at? What are you doing? And one of them comes over to the soundboard and he starts unplugging stuff. And I said, "Dude, you can't do that." And he said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "We can do this." He's like, "We go into churches like this every week and we cause chaos and we cause confusion and we cause problems." And I said, "But you can't do that. This isn't your stuff." And he said, "No, you don't know who I am." And I said, "No, you don't know who I am." And we back and forth, right? Men puffing up our chests. And I step around the thing where we have the offering table there now. This guy's standing there, and we're ready to fight. And I reached out and I put my arms around him. And I started hugging this guy. And it went on forever. And he starts crying on my shoulder. And I don't say anything. I'm just hugging him. Just a second ago, I was ready to rip his head off. And he's got his head on my shoulder, and we're both crying. And he says, "Nobody." He said, "We've gone into churches every week, and no one's ever hugged me and told me they love me." And I said, wow. And I woke up. And that has stuck with me vividly. How do we treat people? You know, when God walks somebody through those doors, do you understand that's His timing? His perfect timing. People all over this church, all over this city, walking into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches and have never felt love. All they know is seeds of confusion. All they know is chaos. That's what they've been raised in. But nobody's ever shown them love. And I think God's perfect timing is right now for the Crossing Church. Bow your heads for a second. Everybody stand up. I don't know, is Savannah here? Where's she at? Close your eyes for a second. You know, God has a purpose for every person in this room. Whether you know Him or whether you don't know Him, God has a purpose for your life. If you don't know Him, let me first tell you this. God loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus came, the King of Kings, the Creator of this world, gave all of that up and came down here and was born in a filthy horse stable. For one purpose, so He could live here and so He could die. So that He could provide a payment for the sin that we could never pay for. And I don't care who you are or what you've done. You cannot, people think, oh, if God knew what I know, God knows what you did and He did it anyway. He knows how bad you are and He still said, I love you and I'm giving my Son for you. And all you need to do is accept the fact that He loves you and He can forgive you of whatever it is you think is too bad to have done. And if you'll do that, then the Bible promises us that at that moment you become a son of Jesus, a son of God and a brother to Jesus, a co-heir of heaven. And now you see these little things that you always thought were coincidence lining up. If you're saved, do you know that right now, God has a perfect plan for your life, right where you're at, and God has a perfect plan for you in this body of believers. And it's time for us to start slowing down and listening to His plan. God, where is it that you want me plugged in at? God, in my family, how am I supposed to lead my family? God, at my work, how am I supposed to act? God, how in the world am I going to talk to that guy that just can't stand me? That lady that makes fun of me all the time. How am I going to do that? And God will say, you know what? I'll show you how. If you'll give up yourself and you'll listen to me, I'll show you how. God, how am I going to serve in my church? You know what? I got a perfect place for you. All you got to do is step out of your comfort zone. I got a perfect place for you. My prayer for this church, for this body is that next year, this place is full of people who have been impacted by the love that this group of people right here was bold enough to step out and say, all right, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. This is your time now to ask God, whatever it may be, if you're running from God, come up here and talk to Him. He understands. If you really want to know what He wants you to do, come up and talk to Him. This is what the altars are for. It's so that we can unburden ourselves and allow God to speak to us. I'm going to pray and then we're going to open it up. We're not going to keep it long. I'm not going to force a feeling on you. But if God's talking to you, I want you to come forward and deal with that.